Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Lucid breaks the EV efficiency record. Kia and Hyundai seen testing their native NACS ports. And Rivian launching a new trade-in tool. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you what the world's leading scientists are warning Toyota about with their hydrogen greenwashing. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Thursday, 18th of July. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Well, Patreon supporters get these shows ad-free, one of the benefits of signing up to be a supporter. Check it out at the link in the show notes. Well, Lucid Motors, led by the CEO and CTO, Peter Rawlinson, has always prioritised efficiency, and the latest iteration of the Air Pure model, the 2025 model year, has an impressive 5 miles per kilowatt hour of energy consumption. That is a significant improvement on the previous 4.1 miles per kilowatt hour, making it the most efficient production EV to date. Well, the Air Pure is also Lucid's most affordable model, and it achieves 430 miles of range with a smaller battery than the outgoing model. So it's 430 miles of EPA range on an 84 kilowatt hour battery. And what's my Polestar 2? I've got the original one, the really inefficient Polestar, a 78 kilowatt hour or something, and I'm lucky if mine reads more than 200 miles on the dash. I think that's a good day for me. I mean, it's summertime at the minute, so I'm seeing a bit more miles. Man, can you imagine owning a Lucid Air Pure with a very reasonable sized battery and well over 400 miles of real world range? The efficiency is partly due to the integration of the heat pump system, initially introduced in the high performance Air Sapphire model, along with other refinements. According to Lucid, this makes the Air Pure the most efficient and most sustainable vehicle ever made. Another significant upgrade for the 2025 Air is the inclusion of what they call new generation control hardware. In every model, this hardware enhancement triples the processing power, doubles the memory of the onboard computer, the infotainment system. It's smoother and more responsive. Earlier this year, Peter Rawlinson shared with the UK's Autocar magazine that the goal for electric car efficiency should be 6.2 miles per kilowatt hour, which is a convenient 10 kilometres per kilowatt hour. Obviously, that's the number he picked because 10Ks, 6.2 miles per kilowatt hour. Nice round number, but also that's what he wants Lucid to get to move closer to the goal. Lucid has developed their own components in-house, optimizing them to work with the 900-volt architecture on which their cars are based. This innovation allows for smaller, more powerful components. The Air's electric motor is about a third of the size of something equivalent on a Tesla, but it delivers equal or greater power as well. Despite these advancements, the Air Pure has a starting price of $69,900, so it's a smidge under $70,000. The Touring is $79,000. The Grand Touring is $111,000. And let's not talk about the Sapphire Edition, which is rare stuff indeed. All right, moving on. And Porsche are next in the news. And Porsche has introduced a new electric version of the Macan, and it starts at just £67,000 if you're one of my UK listeners, and a range of 398 miles, that is 640 kilometres on WLTP. It's the new entry-level model of the Macan EV. It's 355 brake horsepower, so it's still plenty potent, and it directly competes with things like the outgoing Jaguar I-Pace and the Polestar 4, which is incoming. In addition to the base model, Porsche offers three four-wheel drive variants. The Macan 4 is $70,000, and the Macan 4S is $75,000. That's got 509 horsepower, and the top-tier Macan Turbo, which will rip your face off, it's £95,000. And it's 630 horsepower. Now, for my US listeners, I've got your pricing too. Fear not. The base model of the Macan EV is arriving in the fourth quarter of this year in your market. And it's going to be $77,000 US, including a $2,000 destination charge. That is $3,000 down from the existing base model, the Macan 4. The new base Macan, still based on 800-volt architecture, still 100 kilowatt-hour total size battery. Single motor, though, which is new for the Macan EV. Single motor on the rear axle. Some would say, actually, if you're not in need of four-wheel drive, that a single motor, rear-wheel drive, sporty-feeling, more lightweight vehicle is the way to go. First Macan to only drive two wheels. This motor with a 480-amp pulse inverter and silicon carbide transistors, which are all new, produces 335 horsepower, and this setup allows the Macan to do 0 to 60 miles an hour in 5.4 seconds, so it's no slouch, and a top speed of 136 miles an hour. That's 219 kph. Now, by getting rid of the front motor and all the related components with the all-wheel drive system, the base Macan has a weight reduction of 110 kilograms, that is 243 pounds, compared to the next model up, the Macan 4. The weight saving will enhance the vehicle's range, of course. No official EPA numbers to talk about yet, but we can go probably from the WLTP and work down from that, as we always do, maybe three quarters or two thirds, around 300 miles. That's 480 kilometers of range on a single charge when we finally get the EPA numbers. The electric Macan's release was meant to be 2 years ago? Yeah, no, maybe a year ago, actually. Maybe I'm being harsh. But they've had all sorts of delays at Volkswagen Group with the software issues. Porsche's strategy to transition away from petrol vehicles is crucial to the future of how Porsche grows as a brand. They want to make up electric models 80% of their global sales by 2030. The new Macan has been developed alongside, you may know, the Audi Q6 e-tron. Also an A6 coming as well, by the way. That shares the premium platform electric, that's PPE, along with key components like the chassis, the batteries, and the power control electronics. All right, let's move on and go to the South Korean cars now. And Genesis, the luxury division of Hyundai, is developing a new electric vehicle platform aimed at competing with high-end brands like BMW and Tesla Model S and Model X. Well, the new platform will be exclusive to Genesis, distinguishing it from Hyundai's models. And that's new for Genesis, by the way, in the electric era. The first of the electric cars from them was the GV60. And that was after the IONIQ 5 and the Kia EV6. The Genesis GV60 was Genesis' take on a bit more luxury, a bit more opulence, a few nicer things to see and touch in the cabin. This upgraded model will feature a larger battery, though, they say, in its own platform. Current GV60, like all the existing EVs, are on Hyundai's EGMP architecture. And that also supports, as I say, IONIQ 5, IONIQ 6, the Kias as well. And the GV60 will be the last, the next year's GV60, the 2025 model year, will be the last of the Genesis cars on that shared platform, which is really interesting. Mike Song is the global head of Genesis, and John Sun, the global product officer of Genesis, confirming that future Genesis models will be built on a new brand-exclusive platform to Genesis as they look to take on the higher-end, more luxurious competitors. Let's stay with the company, though, and Kia seems to have begun testing vehicles with the J3400. That is otherwise known as North American Charging Standard, or NACS, the Tesla plug, if you want to call it that, charge port. There were some recent sightings posted on the social media platform X of a camouflaged Kia at a Tesla supercharger station not using the adapter. And so the car maker announced plans to integrate NACS ports, which is officially J3400, now that it's been standardized by the SAE organization, into its EVs. Kia said it'll start with the EV6, so it'll come with a native NACS port on the EV6. The rollout will begin, we think, for the 2025 model year, which could even arrive sometime in 2024. But if not, look, I mean, 6 months is about the right runway to start testing the vehicles with a native J3400 socket on the side, or port, I should say. Existing Kia owners, of course, you haven't been forgotten. You get the adapters, which are being sent out already by Ford, already by Rivian. Recently, two camouflage Kias were seen at superchargers testing things like the adapters and also the native NACS ports as well. So it's good news that Kia, Hyundai, Genesis seem to be on track with that. There was an IONIQ 5 parked next to it in camouflage, not plugged in, you would presume, underneath the charge flap. That maybe had a native NACS port as well. So both Hyundai and Kia, we don't know when he saw the Kia. One drawback noted is that the J3400 port was located on the passenger side, obviously left-hand drive vehicle in the US. So the passenger side on the right-hand side of the vehicle, which does get people's backs up somewhat when Rivian unveiled their new vehicles. With it not on the Tesla side, people kind of lost their mind on social media. I know what you think, everyone loses their mind on social media. Is it a big deal? Some people feel very strongly about this, that if you're redesigning the vehicle, you haven't got to redesign the high voltage cabling too much to have the charge port exactly where Tesla vehicles have it, and therefore you're not using up, taking, I'm doing air quotes right now, you can't see it on a podcast, two spaces. And that you should fall in line in some way. A lot of Tesla fans saying they should fall in line with us because it's our network, but others saying, well, it's not your network anymore. It's a standardized J3400 socket. Tesla are opening up in order to, for many reasons, to access some funding, lots of reasons why they're opening up their network to make some more money, of course. And actually, that's where the charge port is. So if I'm, again, air quotes, blocking, that's not my problem. So feelings run quite high about that. And I'd love to know your thoughts. Anytime you want to get in contact, you can do. This podcast has an email address, hello@evnewsdaily.com. That is hello@evnewsdaily.com. We'll take a quick break. Free podcast listeners will maybe hear an ad or two, or maybe not, if you're lucky. Patreon supporters, of course, won't. I'll be back for you in about 2 seconds' time.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Hi, welcome back to the podcast. We'll stay with Tesla, and they're currently on a significant hiring spree, seeking 800 positions. That is quite a lot up from the handful that they had not so long ago, just months after the CEO, Elon Musk, initiated layoffs aimed at streamlining operations and preparing for future growth. The job openings range from highly specialized roles to standard positions in service and sales. The hiring ramp coincides with a substantial rally in Tesla's stock, which has seen an increase of over $223 billion in market cap within 14 trading days. Earlier this year, Elon Musk mentioned that the layoffs at the time were necessary to make the company efficient and ready for its next growth phase. The new Ford Puma Gen E will be priced under $40,000, according to rumors. That would make it an affordable option in Ford's expanding EV lineup, at least in Europe. It will sit below the Mustang Mach-E, the Explorer Electric, and the newly revealed Capri EV. The Puma EV would have many of the features of the latest Puma model, but include unique elements to distinguish it from the combustion versions: new badging, new headlights, a closed-off grille, redesigned front bumper to be better efficiency. Unlike the Explorer and the Capri, this won't be based on Volkswagen's MEB platform. The Puma EV built on the same platform as the combustion Puma. This decision, they say, Ford would allow them to leverage existing infrastructure, save costs. The Puma EV will have, according to rumors, a 50 to 60 kilowatt hour battery. You'd think somewhere around 250 miles of range. It sits lower in the lineup for Ford. A viable option for those that do mostly local driving, maybe even longer commutes and occasional road trips with the family, or just, no, this is not going to be a particularly long range EV, but I've been saying this for however long this podcast has been on the air for, before it was a Twitter account, before I started the podcast. We need to get over EVs doing all things for all people. And we need to start the conversation, years I've been saying this, about use case. And so whatever the use case is for the Puma EV, it might not win the mileage, the range battle. But of course, let's hope the price reflects that. Now, Rivian's launched an automated online tool designed to provide trade-in estimates. The tool is versatile, they say, catering to EVs, plug-in hybrids and combustion cars. Vehicle owners, whether they own a Rivian or not, whether you own a truck or a van, can submit your vehicle for a price from Rivian to trade in for one of their vehicles. You put your VIN number in or the license plate. Rivian will send you an email with the estimated value of the vehicle within one business day. This estimate remains valid for one calendar month. However, Rivian may request an extra review to get a more precise trade-in estimate. But a lot of online services are doing this now. You just simply put your car registration in. You know, you might not get the best price compared to selling it privately and hanging out as long as you possibly can and doing a deal. Maybe you make a bit more money that way, but maybe you want the convenience and Rivian trying to get in on that digital act for some trade-in vehicles to sell you a new Rivian. Well, Total Energies, I should call them, and SSE, an energy company in Europe, have signed a binding agreement to establish a new EV business. It's going to be called Source, and yes, there is a name news called Source already, I'll get onto that. A new business that will deploy 3,000 high-powered chargers, and by that they have defined 150 kilowatt DC fast charging or more as high-power charge points. That's a good thing. Over the next 5 years, these charge points will be grouped into EV hubs. There'll be 300 EV hubs in key urban areas, providing fast and reliable charging to capture 20% of the market share in the EV charging sector. They'll be placed in prime locations and powered by renewable energy from SSE. These hubs are already under construction, but not operational yet. Many of them are still stuck in planning. The new Labour government that came in very recently here in the UK have promised to unstick many of the planning issues around green technologies. In the first few days of the new Labour government, they rubber-stamped something that the previous government had been holding up, which was three giant solar farms. And so I think they're mostly in the east of England, my old stomping territory. I'm from Norfolk and Suffolk originally, the flatlands. And so not the sunniest part of the world, but solar can still work in many places. And these, I think it was 1.4, 1.5 gigawatts of power this will put onto the UK grid as renewable energy, which again, the previous government were very much worried about the the pushback, the kind of not in my backyard, the NIMBY culture, and obviously those areas that don't want a solar farm. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want a solar farm. There's loads of them around here in Dorset where I live now. And some of the farmers even graze animals and goats and what have you to keep the grass short beneath the solar panels. And it provides shade for the land on hot summer's days and things like that. So there's so many reasons to do it. But our incoming government, for those not following UK politics, elected with an overwhelming majority, and I think they'll use this 5 years they're in while they've got this power, as it were, to push through many green technologies. And one of those they've promised to work on is unsticking the planning around EV charging infrastructure, which can be held up for, I mean, they've talked about the need for grid infrastructure to be just to be much, much faster, the whole process. So I think, well, you know, the proof will be when we start plugging our cars in a bit more, but you have to take them at their word as a new bunch of politicians voted in that we have to give them a chance to, we'll see what they do. And so let's hope they do speed up that process. Talking of charging, let's talk about Vattenfall. Now, Vattenfall In Charge is the e-mobility division of the Swedish energy company, and they've secured a contract to install 22,000 additional charging points in the Dutch provinces of Brabant and Limburg in the next few years. Now, 22,000 is a lot, so let's get into that. The expansion will bring the total number of public charging points in the regions to almost 60,000 from 37,000 at the moment. The tender process was very competitive. They talked about cybersecurity, pricing and user-friendliness. While Vattenfall has not disclosed specific details about this new tender, this new contract award, when it's 22,000 sockets, I would think the majority would probably be level 2 AC charging, but that's no bad thing, because I'll bore you to death with my current speech on why we need to be focusing so much on AC charging and destination charging, because DC charging gets all the attention. It's the fast charging, it's the big number, it's the sexy, it's the stopping for 20 minutes and being on your way again. But EVs change the way that you think about mobility, and so many people, if they can afford it, in combustion world will wait till their light comes on and the needle is empty, and then they'll go and fill up their tank. And there's been plenty of times in my life when I didn't earn any money and I was putting £5 in just to get me through. But anyway, if you can afford it, you fill up your tank and then you're done, right? EVs are about grazing. I mentioned grazing already. EVs are about little sips of electricity here and there whenever you stop your car. And when your car's not being driven, let's charge it. And so AC charging is so important. So I think what this announcement is a lot of AC charging going in. So it gets my huge stamp of approval. But let's talk DC charging, because it is very important. And Osprey Charging, a prominent EV charging network here in the UK, has acquired a 2-acre site in the Twyford Services region, the A46 near Evesham. It'll allow the creation of an advanced EV charging hub with 16 ultra rapids, which they define as 300 kilowatts or more, with planning permission gone in and the grid connection permission is in. The project is part of Osprey's initiative to establish charging hubs around the UK, backed by big investments by Cube Infrastructure Management and Investec, the bank. Vital for growth, Osprey say. The Twyford Services acquisition follows other key purchases recently, including the award-winning Salmon's Leap in Devon and now Paisley in Scotland. Osprey Charging will announce more sites, they say, in 2024. It's a very interesting business model they've got with this extra funding, which not everybody, not all the charging operators want to go down this route, but Osprey are increasingly looking to acquire land, and then they can put everything on that land rather than being a host or a tenant, if you like, but actually acquiring the land. So you can put on retail on the land, you can put some extra facilities on that, you control the whole environment and experience. I mean, that is massively capital intensive, but if you can afford it, I think it's a really amazing way to do charging, because Osprey will then control the whole experience and, you know, make all of the money as well on the cups of coffee that hopefully are bought when you're charging. Now, NIO, the Chinese electric vehicle maker, has now established 50 battery swap stations in Europe. And that's a big deal and a big number to get to. Over half of those are in Germany and Norway alone. On July 15th, NIO opened two new stations in Norway, specifically in Straum and Oslo, according to their announcement on the X social media network. By mid-July, NIO had set up 15 battery swap stations in Norway and 17 in Germany, based on data from CNEV Post website. European NEO users have used the facilities for over 63,000 battery swaps so far, delivering about 3 million kilowatt hours of power in those battery swaps. Now, did you know that we missed an anniversary recently? Mid-July, July 15th, petrol car drivers in the UK started to spend more money on fuel than the average EV driver. Now, this is a UK piece of data. Its intriguing finding comes from the Electric Car Scheme, and it declared July 15th as EV Day. I like it. I'm up for this. It's a detailed analysis of annual fuel expenses for the average UK driver. Now, here we do about 7,400 miles a year on average. That's 11,900 kilometres. And it revealed that petrol drivers spend about £1,200 on fuel, EV drivers spending about £600 on the same distance. And so everything after July the 15th, EV drivers are saving money. Now, this company that put the data together is a salary sacrifice leasing broker behind the study, and they said that petrol drivers are now outspending their EV counterparts on fuel for every day for the rest of this year. So that was an interesting little way of presenting it. Now, a recent survey by Startline Used Car Tracker revealed that 87% of potential buyers of used EVs would consider an independent, certified battery health assessment as crucial. That's 87% want that. Its evaluation would provide detailed information about the condition of the vehicle's battery and how it's been maintained. Now, you may know this podcast is sponsored by Recurrent, recurrentauto.com, and you can get your battery reports for your EVs. So I have a vested interest in this story. Now, the study also found that 83% of consumers are eager to know the time required to fully charge the battery, 82% want to know the battery's capacity loss since new, and 81% surveyed want insights into future capacity loss. 79% of people want to know the current charge level of the battery. Interesting. Okay, a couple of China bits to get to, and then why a group of scientists have an issue with Toyota. Now, last month in June 2024 in China saw new energy vehicle sales reach 1.05 million units. That's a 9.8% increase from the previous month in May when they did 955,000, and a significant jump of 30% on the same time last year. This achievement makes June only the third ever month in history, and the other 2 months were November and December last year, when 1 million new energy vehicles were sold in China. The CAAM, the China Association of Automobile Manufacturers, reported these figures as a wholesale number. That is domestic sales and exports as well. However, the majority of the vehicles, 963,000 of the million or so, were sold within China. 86,000 were exported. That's a 10.3% year-on-year increase. Of the total, 1,049,000 EVs sold. 612,000 were pure EVs. That is about 60% of the total. Plug-in hybrids, about 400,000 or so. And both figures significantly up, of course. Now, how will China continue to dominate the global EV battery market despite higher tariffs by the US and Europe? Well, China is set to maintain its stronghold on the global production of batteries. According to Rystad Energy, a consultancy firm, manufacturers are expected to produce over 1,500 gigawatt hours of lithium-ion batteries globally in 2024, with China contributing more than two-thirds of that number, over 1,000 gigawatt hours. To circumvent the higher tariffs imposed by the US and Europe on Chinese EVs, many Chinese EV makers and battery makers are planning to establish production facilities, whether that is just final assembly or more serious production in other countries. This move aims to reduce costs and be competitive. Chen Shan, a battery market analyst at Rystad Energy, noting that it would accelerate China's efforts to diversify their trade relationships around the world. Chinese battery makers have been proactive in expanding their production around the world and overseas. By the end of last year, they've invested over 100 billion yuan in the construction of 40 lithium-ion battery facilities outside Chinese soil. Many people don't realize that that's 40 now. It's a big number of Chinese EV batteries not in China, either being constructed or in progress. They're also working on aspects of battery supply like raw material mining and recycling outside of China. And congratulations to the team at Leap Motor, a Chinese EV company listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange and supported by Stellantis. They just surpassed 400,000 cumulative deliveries. The achievement marks a big milestone in the company's history. Established in 2015, Leap Motor was among the pioneering new car EV makers in China, and they're now extending their reach into Europe with a partnership with Stellantis, who are Europe's second largest car maker by sales. And finally, what's this story all about? Is the Toyota Mirai, the hydrogen Toyota, the best choice? A vehicle for the Paris Olympics, which are just around the corner? Or should the Olympic officials be using a battery electric vehicle? Well, a coalition of 120 different scientists from all around the world, 120 scientists, engineers, and academics have all put their name to an open letter that they've penned to the organizations of the Paris Olympics. And they have pointed out that the replacement of the hydrogen Toyota Mirai, which is, I think still, I imagine a nice handsome payment was made by Toyota to the Olympic Committee. Mirai will be the official vehicle of ferrying around the officials. These scientists and academics are arguing that EVs are simply far more effective in reducing carbon emissions in passenger transport. This letter highlights that hydrogen, unlike electricity, is not a green energy source. 99% of hydrogen used in around the world, hydrogen production is based on fossil fuels. It's not the green hydrogen that is this kind of happy new world that the hydrogen fans all like to talk about, you know, using excess renewables to make hydrogen. It's the perfect fuel. It's simply not. Green hydrogen can be produced with excess renewables, but this letter states that the fuel cell vehicles will be not running on that, and they'll be consuming three times more energy than if the Olympic officials had simply used an EV. The letter talks about the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, where obviously Japan, hydrogen technology was trumpeted, but it simply failed at all of the expectations that we were led to believe. Despite promises from the Japanese government and Toyota, hydrogen-powered vehicles and the infrastructure fell far short. The buses were only ever operating on very limited routes using grey hydrogen, and this resulted in far higher emissions than if they'd simply used diesel buses. And 4 years later, we've learned nothing, and we're doing it all over again, and greenwashing how we need to go electric and electrify our transport. There is a future in hydrogen, somewhere, somehow, whether it's commercial vehicles, heavy duty, trucking, planes, marine. We don't know, but it's simply not in the everyday cars that you and I drive around. And once again, they're going to get some very good press around the Olympics. But I'm glad to pass on this expert data. The likes of you and I know differently, but I wonder how many people who don't obviously listen to an EV podcast, and you're half an hour into an EV podcast, so you've done well. You should get a gold star today. Will ever realise that in many ways, unless the hydrogen is sourced differently and is done using fossil fuels, it's simply the big con that many people will never realise. But hey, there we go. We do what we can to pass on this information from these scientists, engineers, and academics from around the world. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you so much to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel. Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made really simple with one app and one map. And Lease Plan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.